time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We wouldn't let you go without an episode of Abandoned Manitoba on a long weekend like this. So, a special edition, kind of, with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon. Long intro for you this week.
Good morning, Bruce, and it's nice to see you again.
So, what are we talking about today?
Well, for 122 years, a Winnipeg company compiled data about the city and its occupants, and historians like me find that data incredibly useful. Today, we're considering a vacant building in the city's core that for about half a century hosted that company, the Henderson Directories Limited.
I loved the Henderson Directories. Especially as a sort of a teenager in junior high, I discovered one of these things and I just thought, wow, there's so much information in here. But for listeners who might not have any experience with them, what are the Henderson Directories?
Well, they started in 1878. And of course, consider that. That's just 8 years after Manitoba joined Confederation, just 5 years after Winnipeg was incorporated. And it continued, as I said, for the next 122 years. They were published annually and each issue had four main sections. The first was an introduction that contained all sorts of interesting demographic data, in this case about Winnipeg, and the second was a listing of the people or businesses that were at each street address in the city. The third section was an alphabetical listing of people and businesses, and the fourth was a listing of products and services with the businesses who provided them. It was essentially a Yellow Pages.
So why were they called the Henderson Directories?
Well, for the person who started them, a fellow named James Henderson. He was born in Scotland, and he came to Canada in his youth. He moved to Winnipeg in 1871. Again, just literally a year after Manitoba became a province, and he worked at the post office for a few years before he began compiling the directories. Initially, he did that at home because, it was probably just a sort of a sidelight business for him. But as it grew in value, as people began realizing just how useful it was, well, then later he had to move into more formal offices and hire staff. And over time, he eventually had a really big operation going so that by 1918, Henderson could look back at what he had accomplished, and it was an incredible business that was very successful. He retired, and his son, Selby Henderson, took over, and he ran the business until 1957 when his son-in-law, David Evans, took his place. So in other words, it was literally a family business for much of its history. Now, in later years, the firm did move its corporate headquarters to Vancouver, but for at least a half century, it was based right here in Winnipeg in the Central Core.
So this is where we get to the abandonment part of the story.
Right. So in 1906, after occupying space in several buildings along Main Street, the company moved into their own newly constructed building on the east side of Gary Street. You know, I suspect that they had simply grown too big for the smaller office space that they had previously occupied. This new building was a three-story structure with a basement, and the first floor and the second floor hosted company offices, while the printing presses, because of course they were printing a directory on paper, the printing presses were in the basement and up on the third floor. Now, it must have been thriving because just 3 years later, this is in 1909 now, they made an addition, a two-story addition on the north side of that original building, and they operated here until 1955. So they were there literally for almost a half a century, 49 years. And at that time, they moved into a one-story building at Confusion Corner. Now, the 1906 building was demolished in 1972 to make way for the present structure that's there. But if you look closely at that 1972 building, what you'll notice is that the two-story addition, the one that was made in 1909, is still standing. It's kind of maybe a little hard to tell because, well, you see the facade of the new building on the front, but if you look a little above it, you'll see that two-story addition. So in other words, there is that tangible reminder of the Henderson Directory. Now, the building itself has recently hosted a restaurant, bar, and lounge, but it is closed now, and as far as I know, I just checked recently, the building was still standing vacant. But I'm hopeful that it will not be empty too long and a new occupant will move in. But, you know, in this day and age,
who knows?
Who knows?
So how are the Henderson directories useful to people like yourself?
Oh, my. I could talk about this a very long time. There are numerous applications, far too many to describe them all here. But I'll list a few of the ways that I use them. They're great for tracing the whereabouts of what I'll call ordinary people, you know, the kinds that just don't tend to get mentioned in the histories, you know, and unfortunately, you know, it's sometimes hard to track those kind of people. Well, right. The Hendersons are wonderful for tracing basically anybody who resided in Winnipeg. You know, they provide the names of their spouses sometimes, their occupation, valuable information. You know, if somebody wants to know who lived in their home in the past, and this is a question I get fairly often. You know, I moved into my house last year. I'm curious to know who lived in it before me. The Hendersons. That is the single best way to find out. I use the directories to reconstruct the history of commercial buildings. If I want to know what businesses were located in a particular building, when did the building first appear? In other words, when was it constructed? When did the building disappear? Maybe because it was demolished. Those are the things you can track. The names of the occupants of the buildings, you can track the movement of company offices through time. You can determine the names of business executives. They'll often give the name of the company and they'll say, oh, so-and-so is the president, so-and-so is the vice president, so-and-so is the general manager. And that's often really hard information to find in other places. And then you can trace the development of a district or a neighborhood. You can find out when did the various buildings first appear and, again, who occupied them. The introductory section, the one at the beginning, and the yellow page section at the back are absolutely invaluable. You know, the yellow pages, for example, provide categorized lists of businesses and demographic information about the community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, personally, I find the advertisements in most of the directories really interesting and useful, too. You know, so for example, in the 1880 directory for Winnipeg, there is an ad for a company called the Winnipeg and Western Transportation Company. Probably doesn't ring a bell with anybody because it's long gone, but that company operated four steamboats, the Minnesota, the Cheyenne, the Manitoba, and the Alpha. We've talked about the Alpha, in fact, here on the program many, many times, and they operated on the Red and the Assiniboine Rivers. Well, that ad isn't just a, like, here's the ship. It also talked about things like the itineraries. When did they stop at the various docks to pick up people and supplies? How did they operate? You know, when did they first start in the spring and all that kind of stuff? Wonderful information about anybody interested in steamboats. And it's from an ad in the Henderson directories.
So was it just for Winnipeg that these directories were made?
Oh, absolutely. Not. No, they were directories for numerous communities, especially in Western Canada. So I'll just give you one example from 1964. There were Henderson directories for Brandon, Dauphin, Portage-la-Prairie, and of course, Winnipeg here in Manitoba. In Saskatchewan, they were available for Moose Jaw, North Battleford, Prince Albert, Regina, Saskatoon, Swift Current, Weyburn, and Yorkton. In Alberta, there's ones for Calgary, Edmonton, Lethbridge, and Medicine Hat. For whatever reason, I'm curious about, they didn't seem to make ones for Vancouver and Victoria, even though they were based out in BC. But going east of Winnipeg, they had directories for Sarnia and Thunder Bay in Ontario, and which still amazes me. They had one for St. John's in Newfoundland. So they covered pretty much the entire nation, except they only had specific places. Unfortunately, however, the last edition of those directories was published 24 years ago in 2000.
Why did it end in 2000?
Well, I've never seen an actual formal explanation, but I think they were a victim of our present obsession with privacy. You know, in the past, when people would be approached by the staff of Henderson Directories to share information about themselves, such as their street address, their occupation, and the name of their spouse, they voluntarily provided it.
Right.
Today, many people consider such details to be private, and they simply won't share them with anyone. So I think what happened is that each year, the company would have harder and harder time getting the information. They did employ, in the later years, about 50 people over a period of about 3 or 4 months to enumerate the people and businesses of Winnipeg. But in a 1991 newspaper article, the company would not disclose what percentage of the population might have been missed. In other words, We don't know really how thorough the directory was, because if people simply wouldn't provide the information, well, the directory wasn't comprehensive. And I think gradually over time, the company began to realize, heck, if we're having this much trouble, people can't rely on the directory. It kind of loses its value. So the last issue came out in 2000. And although there are a few places today where one can sometimes find equivalent information, like what was in the Henderson's, I would argue it's not nearly as detailed and definitely not as complete. And I suspect that future historians will rue the day that the Hendersons went extinct because, well, in its absence, those historians will have much more trouble reconstructing the detailed kind of data that the Henderson directories provided easily.
Yeah, so historically significant.
And that's the thing. And they're readily available today. You can still refer back to them very easily.
Yeah, how can people consult past issues like that?
Well, there's a couple of ways here in Manitoba. The easiest way is to use ones that have been digitized by the University of Alberta and put into the Internet Archive, where they're available for free. They're available for Winnipeg for most years between 1880 and 1964, and for Brandon between 1906 and 1955. Although, I have to confess, there are gaps in coverage. But what's really exceptional about these online digital ones is that they are text searchable. You know, what that means then is you can quickly find specific surnames, specific addresses, or what I am now using, occupations. Like if you wanted to look for people who had a particular occupation, well, with the old paper versions, you'd have to flip page by page. Well, that's a long, very laborious process. Well, now that you can search it, man, within seconds, you can find all the people who had a particular occupation. It's absolutely amazing. Now, if you do need fuller coverage, like if you really want every single year, well, almost the entire period over which the directories were published for Winnipeg from 1888 to 2000, there is a set at the Legislative Library at Manitoba on Vaughan Street. And I have to say, that's one of my absolute favorite places to go because it's just so wonderful, the stuff that you'll find there. And the Henderson's is one example. There is also a fairly complete collection of the Henderson's either in print or on microfilm at the Millennium Library. So there's places you can go, bricks and mortar places to find them too. They also have directories for Brandon, and the Brandon Public Library does have copies of the Brandon directories in its reference collection. So there are places you can go. I say there's online things. You can sit there in your jammies and find out who used to live in my house back in 1932.
And I'll give a link where you can find them online after we're done here. But I went and searched around a bit because I know we have a few of them here. Here's one. Here's the big physical one. I don't know how many pages this is, Gordon. Obviously, a couple of thousand pages. Went and looked up my last name in the alphabetical white pages of it. And this particular year, I was listed as a student and has my dad's down here as a craftsman with Shell Canada, which we've talked about before, the Shell refinery on Panet Road where he used to work, and has my mom's name in there as well. And then my relatives under that name as well. So my uncles are in here and cousins, et cetera.
So what year is this volume?
80s. 80s. That's what I'll say.
Okay. And that's the thing. They provide a snapshot of the city at a particular point in time that you can't find anywhere else.
Like
people would come and go and people might move in and move away in a year's time. Well, they're preserved in the Henderson Directory.
So very interesting. Yeah. Thank you for coming in and talking about the directories today. What's up for next week?
Well, every so often we provide updates on previous topics we've considered here on Abandoned Manitoba because, of course, inevitably when you talk about things that are abandoned, things are going to change. So next week I'll share a host of updates with our listeners. And I regret to say that some of those updates do involve demolition.
Okay, we'll look forward to that, and we'll see you next week.
Yep. Bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.